Well, very pleased to have with us right now former Browns safety Felix Wright. He is going to be one of the two honorary co-captains for Sunday's game against the Ravens. The other is Al Gross, also played that position in the defensive backfield. So I want to start with you, Felix. First of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, and you know, it's a first, and it's got to be a great thing. I mean, the chance for you, and I think all these former players who've had this opportunity, you put on the jersey again, you get to go out in front of the crowd again. I know they give you a lot of love. That has to mean something.
Well, it means a lot. You know, like I said, I had a wonderful time when I played for the Browns back in the late 80s, 85 to 90. Great memories, played with great guys. And, you know, we all came together through different avenues, some through the draft. I came from the Canadian Football League. A lot of the guys came from the USFL.
Right.
And we put it together.
Your path coming from, and I want to start with that, 1982, Hamilton Tiger Cats, yes, of the CFL, and you were with them till 1984. First of all, does a guy who comes out of college, you were at Drake, does a guy have a little resentment toward the NFL for not giving you the opportunity right out of school, or do you go there with the open mind that, hey, if I show myself well here, I could still have an opportunity in the NFL?
Well, you know, growing up, I wanted to be a professional ball player, and I was decent in baseball, basketball, and football. Didn't really care what sport it was going to be into, but I knew when I was offered a scholarship from Drake University that it was going to have to be football. And so, you know, I graduated in 4 years, played well enough there, I thought, you know, that, you know, afforded me an opportunity to be able to get a chance to play in the league. But that opportunity didn't come. Did get a few calls from a few agents, but that didn't pan out. And I actually went back to Missouri and taught school for a year. And actually called the agents up that sent me those letters to get me some tryouts the next year. And that's kind of how I got my start. And I actually went down to Houston and ran well, worked out well.
Right.
Got a tryout and got invited to camp. You know, had a really good camp. Thought I should have made a team, but
yeah,
got caught up in the numbers games. And you know, the day I was released, went home for a day, and the Canadian Football League, you know, Hamilton Tigers called me up and said, "Hey, you can come up and play for us right now." And that's kind of how we got started. So no, I guess no resentment. You know, I was disappointed didn't get the opportunity at the time, but
right,
I knew that, you know, once I went up to Canada, that was a dream. I didn't choose that path. But
you were playing professional football.
Professional football, and you know, from day one, I went up there. I was right in the starting lineup. And actually, my first game was against Warren Moon,
mm-hmm,
and you know, signed another 2-year deal after that. I went up there in '82 and played well enough to where I became a Pro Bowler up there, and then, you know, that's when the opportunities came with the NFL. I had six teams, and the Browns kind of outbid everybody, and it just worked out perfectly. And you know, I was ready when that time came. I wasn't going to let that opportunity slip by.
No, and you definitely seized it. And that's the other thing. What about, because you had two passes you intercepted for Hamilton in the Grey Cup. That was the 72nd Grey Cup. It was a loss for the Ticats.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
But you had two picks in that game and made your mark that way. But in general, what about playing in the CFL helped prep you for the NFL?
Well, in the CFL, it's about 90% passing game. So there's a lot of man-to-man coverage. It's a bigger field. Actually, we play the game on a soccer field. The field is 10 yards longer. The end zones are 25 yards in length. The field is a lot wider. You know, the NFL width is 53, I think, and a half yards. And then the CFL, it's 65 yards wide.
Right.
So we had to really hone in on our skills as far as man-to-man coverage. And I think that's what helped me, because I was kind of a tweener. I was a cornerback in college, but big enough to play safety in the league. So I was in between. Actually, when I first came to Cleveland, I was a nickelback as well. As I could play corner, back up Hanford and Minnie, and also could back up at safety as well.
Right. Yeah. So you had versatility on yourself.
Had versatility. And like I said, I was kind of a tweener in between as far as weight and everything. But I played well up there. I my last year up there, I played 12, you know, I had 12 interceptions. So I was, you know, able to show that I could, you know, create turnovers. And actually, the game before the Grey Cup that I had the two interceptions, the game before that in the, it's the against Toronto, which was, I guess you call it, the AFC Championship game up there, the Eastern Final. I had four interceptions in that game. Wow. I actually tied a record with Bud Grant. He had four interceptions in a playoff game. Yeah, so that's what, I think that's that game gave me an opportunity and kind of raised some eyebrows because I know there were scouts there looking at our quarterback, which is Dieter Brock at the time. And I think by having the four interception game, you know, shed some light and gave me an opportunity to, you know, get some teams that might may give me a workout.
Yeah, Dieter ended up with the L.A. Rams, after the CFL. And we're visiting with Felix Wright, former Brown safety, who will be one of the two co-captains along with honorary co-captains along with Al Gross for Sunday's game against the Ravens. Felix, I want to ask you, too, your brother Charles Wright also had a CFL career and a little time in the NFL.
Yes.
So how was that dynamic?
Oh, that was great. Actually, I have two brothers. My middle brother actually went to Kansas State.
I was going to say Joe was a basketball player.
He was a basketball player, and he went to Kansas State, and he actually played basketball overseas for 16 years.
In Europe, okay.
And then Charles, my youngest brother, actually went to school at Tulsa University and got drafted, and I think it was in the 12th round. That's when they had all those rounds. And he to St. Louis,
right.
And he became a Cardinal. And then that was a tough year for him because that was a strike year. And
sure.
So he was, you know, he didn't know whether to hold out or not hold out and kind of following my lead, which I think hurt his career. But he was able to, you know, and actually went after the strike, he got released from there and actually went to Dallas the next year and then to Tampa Bay the next year and then actually came up to camp in Cleveland the year I held out in 1990.
Okay.
And then and that didn't work out for him. And then he went up to Canada and played for the Ottawa Rough Riders and the Edmonton Eskimos. And I think he played up there for 6 years. And then he ended up playing in the Arena League for 3 years as well. So he had a nice little career.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. And your career, of course, with the Browns, 1985 to 1990, where you spent the bulk of your time in the NFL.
Yes.
After that, Minnesota, 91-92, the Chiefs in 93.
Yes.
With the Browns, Monday Night Football game, 1987, you intercept two passes, 108 yards in returns. One of them goes for a touchdown against the Rams.
Yeah, I think that was probably the game that put me into the lineup.
Sure.
Because it was the game right after the strike.
Yep.
In 1987, and
national TV.
I was still you know, kind of a special teams nickelback guy, you know, played in passing situations, and that game, I was a guy that always intercepted a lot of passes in practice, but we had great safeties. You know, we had Donnie Rogers, we had Al Gross, we had Ray Ellis, we had guys, and we had a sound secondary. That game, you know, I created a couple of turnovers, and actually I thought I had two touchdowns that game, but Charles White, I think, caught me for the long one. Actually, that would end up being the longest one, I think, 68 yards.
Right.
I think that was the game that actually put me in. Actually, the next week we went to San Diego, and I was in the lineup and never looked back.
Beautiful. And you said you got interceptions in practice. Would that have been against a guy named Kozar?
Yes, actually, Bernie.
Bernie. How did Kozar. He handle that? I'm just curious because knowing the competitiveness in Bernie to this day, I'm thinking it wasn't a fun thing.
Well, I'm sure he didn't like it, but hopefully it made him better. And I think that was one of the reasons why Bernie was so good. Obviously, he was a talented guy leaving Boardman and on to Miami and coming here. I think he had great success because I don't know if we were the number one defense, but we had great cornerbacks in Minifield and Dixon. We had great linebackers in Clay Matthews, Mike Johnson. We had great defensive linemen in Pizzulli and Bubba Baker and Harrison. We had great defense, and we worked hard, and we practiced hard. And I think that, you know, it has to make a difference for the guys on offense. And I think if you ask any of those offensive guys, like Kevin Mack and Bernie and Webster Slaughter and Ernest Miner, we worked hard. And I think that's the reason why we had a lot of success.
Yeah, I think the work ethic, there was great camaraderie with that team. And we talk about this with teams that win or have success. You didn't have a Super Bowl championship, but you certainly were a contending team.
Oh, yeah.
And consistent success seems to breed a tighter knit group.
I think so. Well, you know, a perfect example is you look at the last two times that the Giants have won Super Bowls. They came together at the end of the season. They had subpar seasons.
Yeah,
I think 9-7, and they won all their games on the road. It's just, you know, when you get into playoffs, you just got to be hot and you got to be lucky.
Sure.
And I think that's what happened when we went up against the Denver Broncos. They were just the hotter team at that particular time. I think we had a better team.
Yeah,
we had better talent. But that doesn't matter. That's the reason why you show up on Sundays and play the game.
What are some of your impressions of this current team? Because the secondary certainly has some serious good, you know, seriously good talent in the
right.
Joe Haydens and the TJ Wards, really trying to build something special in that group. And they rose to the occasion along with the whole defense in this game against San Diego last week. Just your impressions of this group.
Well, I think they're young, obviously, and they have a ways to go. But I think with Joe back in the lineup, I think with him being out of lineup for, you know, those 4 weeks really affected the defense a lot. And you could see by his impact, by the game he came back, he made an interception, he made had a lot of knockdowns. And I think he's really matured as a ball player. I really like Joe a lot and what he does. You know, as far as the defense goes, I think they've played well. And I think they've held up. And you know, for the exception of what happened, the week before against Indianapolis, I mean, we really should be on a 3-game winning streak right now.
Sure. Well, tell me what you're up to these days. What do you do?
Well, I do a couple of different things. My main job is I got a consulting company, and it's called Sports Trust, working with sports professionals. And what I do is I got about eight NFL guys, a couple NBA guys, and work with a lot of collegiate guys as far as, you know, just putting the game plan together for the finances. So I'm not a financial advisor to where I got licenses and I do stocks. I just come in and put the plan together. This is what we're going to make this year. This is how much we got coming in. This is what we need to do with this. And just kind of separate the cash flow for them and put them on a weekly stipend, pay the bills. And then when we get in position to invest, we find us a financial advisor to invest with.
Oh, okay.
So that's my main job. And I've been doing that for about 12 years. Actually, I started doing that working with RBC Centura back in 2000, and then left there in 2002 to kind of start my own deal. And then I actually, for the last 12 years, I've worked with the NFL as far as the uniform inspector. Actually, right. I kind of turned it down a couple of times, and then they said, well, you've been highly recommended. And so I said, well, I'll do it for 1 year. And it's actually worked out because when my guys that I work with come in town, I get full access to the stadium, so I get to go in the locker room and talk with them and everything. So,
sure.
And that's actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise for me being able to do that and an opportunity, because it keeps me kind of involved with the organization and get a chance to see management as well as the players and to kind of hang out on game day on the sideline.
And just so people know, the uniform police, as you're known, you're looking for, give us a sense of the violations
I'm protecting I'm protecting the sponsorship of the NFL.
The brand.
Yeah, the brand. Like Nike now is the official apparel sponsor. So, you know, as far as the referees, coaches and players, they can't have any other apparel on other than Nike. As far as the headgear, it's now New Era. You know, so we can't have any Nike hats or Reebok hats or anything like that down there. Gatorade is the official drink, and so we can't have anything other than Gatorade or water on the field.
So when you spot these things, you make note of it, you turn them in.
I have to get it removed.
Get it removed.
I get it removed.
Okay.
And then if a player or a coach or an official comes out with a different, you know, type of apparel on, I have to have them to remove it immediately. And if they don't, then – you know, I give them a couple of different warnings, and if they don't persist and deny, I recommend a fine of $10,000.
It's $10,000.
$10,000. Start off during the season.
Are guys pretty good about cooperating?
Yeah, everybody. You know, I've been around for so long now. Everybody knows who I am. They usually come up to me and say, "Am I okay? Am I fine?" So I'm not really a hard guy to deal with. I go speak with them before every season. I said, just look at it this way. I'm a guy that's trying to keep money in your pocket.
There you go.
Because
even though I may not come up to you
with a violation, they have you on camera. So they're gonna get you regardless if I'm around or not. So
Felix, wonderful to talk with you, and thank you. You live in Westlake, so you're a local guy here, and we appreciate it so much. And again, congrats and enjoy Sunday.
I appreciate it. I'll be there.
He is Felix Wright, former Browns safety, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, one of the two honorary co-captains for Sunday's game against the Ravens. He'll be there with Al Gross, former teammate of the Browns and a fellow safety. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.